So he's called the baby.
The regular
I have
baby.
colloquially referred to him as the regular baby.
Yes. Yes.
Because, you know, but we talked about his sort of his comments that were very controversial around people getting HIV, and it was like he was trashed, and I think he claims to have lost over 200 million from opportunities that were cancelled and removed. He got dropped from loads of things like the Rolling Out Loud festival and so on and so forth. Like the consequences hit him hard.
Oh, yes.
And
Yes.
I think it's worth talking about consequences because
Yes.
he has now come forward in a recent interview and said that this fallout has been a bit of a blessing in disguise
Oh.
because it means that he was affected. He says he was effectively told to sit down and think, like sit down, take a minute, think about your actions. And he did. And like, you know,
Okay.
he did almost immediately afterwards apologize. So there was some real genuine action in the aftermath of it. But then even many months later, the further down the line, he's like, yeah, no, this was net maybe not a good thing. I feel like losing 200 million on opportunities can't be counted as a good thing. But the fact that he's learned from it, I think we want to take a minute to acknowledge that and be like, that's good. That's what the consequences are for, to
There's
learn
actually
from this
an
mistake.
emerging term on the internet for this phenomenon known as troller's regret. And there are many instances of people who made their fame by basically by trolling people, by saying controversial things just for the sake of being controversial, who years later have basically come out to denounce their entire early catalog. Now, in this case, I think one of the things to mention is that even though the public face of American hip hop comes across a certain way, behind the scenes, it's a very different thing. A lot of these people, they've got brothers, they've got sisters, they've got mothers, they've got wives. They rap a certain way about women, but they also feel that you should treat them a certain way in reality. It's just rap. Eminem has said all sorts of things in his songs, but if you sit him down and talk to him, he's like, it's just a joke. Calm down, buddy. And people are, you know, people outside of the hip hop world are not really willing to accept that, but people within it are willing to say, well, he did say that's not actually what he thinks. He's just putting it into a song. So the difference is if you get confronted and you say, yeah, I meant that, then you don't know what executive, what other famous rapper, what member of somebody's crew has a brother living with HIV or something, and it can come back to you on the back end. So you could talk about record sales and you could talk about opportunities, but you could also talk about how the world of music, and not just hip hop, but just music in general, they form these little circles. And you know, if you get the wrong person mad, then people don't want to work with you anymore. People don't want to record with you anymore. If you're on an independent label, they won't let you use their studio anymore. Like, this kind of thing can have downstream consequences, even in a scene that has a certain reputation for isms, if you know what I mean. Even hip hop on the back end, they're like, look, if you're just joking, that's one thing, but like, if you don't do this, my mom is going to be so mad because my cousin, you know, that kind of thing really does happen behind the scenes in the industry. So this, the fact that it took this long doesn't, I don't know, in a way it kind of feels like it's on schedule, but it doesn't surprise me that this turned around. So has he come out with like a formal apology, or is he just basically saying, I'm not going to do it anymore?
Well, I mean, he apologized in the aftermath. And, you know, I think someone's just interviewed him many, many months later. And this is sort of the first time that he's really commented on it. But that's the gist of it. I think it's good. I think it's good that we follow up on, like, we have reported on the baby or the regular baby,
The
not
regular
the big
baby,
or little one.
not the baby.
You know, on before, and I think it's important that we acknowledge that he has taken this step moment for self-actualization, to not self-actualization. It sounds a bit like a horoscope. You know, he's taken this moment to consider the consequences of his actions and those decisions. So good on him. hopefully folks will continue, and you know, maybe now his career can start to rebound and rebuild. You know, we don't want people to never work again. That's not the goal here.
Absolutely. And I don't even think he has to turn around and apologize by like doing giant fundraisers or something. I don't care if somebody's a force for good, so long as they're at least a force for neutral. You know, if you're just outside of anything, like if you're not going to do good, sit down. I don't care. Yes. You know, anything beyond that, like if you're doing bad things and you're like, you know what, I'm just going to sit this one out, that's fine by me, because that means there's more people working on it in a positive manner than in a negative manner. And it just, it comes out in the wash, and that's good enough for me. So
absolutely.
Good story. Yeah.
Yeah. Good on DaBaby.
The regular baby.
Okay. So I wanted to also touch on another story that we're just going to recap on. And that is the Welsh government's LGBTQ action plan. Now, that was another occasion where we got very excited over a document.
It
happens. It's where it's at. And the reason why I wanted to bring this up, because on the one hand, Wales, which is a devolved government of the United Kingdom, think like a provincial government, but with a few less powers than what provinces have. So a little less authority, but it has some. Their action plan has now been recognized by the largest international organization for trans and non-binary people in business. Mm-hmm. So it just got a big award for its pro-business, pro-LGBT approach. It's their flagship award. They brought in the Minister of Wales, and it was a whole thing. So this well-made document, we had only nice things to say about this document, has been internationally recognized for their great work. On the flip side, in the UK, the national government, essentially the federal government in the UK, the national government has been all over the shop. There was a recent bill around deporting asylum seekers to Rwanda, where their asylum claims will then be decided in Rwanda, not in the UK, but rather out of sight, out of mind, fly them all to Rwanda and leave them there. That one has been struck down by the British Supreme Court. And it includes things in the decision such as magical thinking by the government. Was a quote from the
I had a clarifying question before we started recording, and I think it's important that our listening audience understands that when you say refugees are going to be redirected to Rwanda to be decided as to their fate, my first question is, are we talking about Rwandan refugees? And you said no, all of them. And that right there is the part where my brain just turned into a fried egg, and I was absolutely confused about that decision. I mean, if you're going to read the Hebrides maybe or something, Isle of Man, set up a little, I mean, then you got a Gros Seal situation. We don't want to repeat Canadian history in a bad way. So I don't know. The whole thing is just weird. It's weird. Yeah.
So it's asylum seekers specifically. Yeah.
Okay.
So generally speaking, people fleeing violence, death, persecution, people who may well die in the country they're in.
Just
that's the gist of the argument.
Imagine arriving from Chechnya and being told, no, you have to take a shortcut through Rwanda to get here.
Yeah, that's you've so fled Russia from being persecuted for being gay. Mm-hmm. You arrive on the shores of Britain, and you're immediately bumbled into a back of a plane, shipped off to Rwanda to face their justice system, not British justice system, Rwandan justice system, and it goes from there. Now, one of the decisions kind of details around whether or not Rwanda is safe. Look, the issue is fundamentally, foundationally, safety. Okay. And this is where the magical thinking by the British government is coming up against a bit of a reality check. Mm-hmm. So the Prime Minister of Britain, Rishi Sunak, has announced, like, look, Supreme Court of Britain says, look, you can't just say Rwanda is safe and then you know, by just saying a thing, it becomes that thing. Like that just, and therefore, just by changing Britain's law doesn't change the reality on the ground in Rwanda. And that's the crux of the issue here. And they're like, the British government is like, no. Look. Rwanda said it's going to be fine. Rwanda said that they're safe. It's good. And the issue here is a bizarre, barely spoken about legal concept called refoulement.
Okay.
Are you familiar with refoulement?
Not at all.
It is niche AF. It is so niche. It is the idea of taking somebody fleeing as an asylum or as an immigrant or what have you, and then sending them back to the country that they are fleeing from, where the consequences would be dire. That is the concept of refoulement.
Okay.
Now, Rishi Sunak and the British government said, look, but we made this law. And it's fine. And the British Supreme Court said, look, if it wasn't for the European Treaty on Human Rights, which is problem number one, if it wasn't for the International Convention on Refugees, which is problem number two, and they just listed all of them. Essentially, they said, look, changing one law, which you decide now Rwanda is safe, doesn't change your obligations under all of these other treaties and laws. Like the idea of refoulement is enshrined in British law, in international law. It predates Rishi Sunak and his conservative shambles. But it, and that's the idea here. It's like, look, you can't just wave a magic wand and now suddenly it's fine, because that doesn't work. And they actually point to an agreement that Rwanda has with Israel.
Okay.
And they said, look, Rwanda promised Israel all of these things. And the evidence, not so good. And essentially, the Supreme Court of Britain doesn't believe the state of Rwanda. That's the legal decision. The I don't believe you decision is really what it boiled down to.
Well, also, whatever happens between Rwanda and Israel is Rwanda and Israel's business.
Whether or not Rwanda is true to their word as a state in terms of enforcing its decisions on refoulement. That's the issue here. That's the point the Supreme Court is saying. It's like, you can make any law you want. You can say, by law, the sky is turquoise.
Yeah.
Which actually, you know, sometimes it is. But by law, the sky is, you know, I don't know, pick a color the sky isn't usually.
Plaid.
Plaid, you know, just because you say the sky is plaid doesn't mean the sky is now plaid. Like that, it's ridiculous. And the reason why LGBT folks have been up in arms over this for a while is because it's frankly unsafe. Now, Suella Braverman, who was the Home Secretary, who was a massive advocate for this particular mission to send all the asylum seekers to Rwanda, she's now actually been turfed by the British Conservative government. She was ousted last week. I forget who's in now, but it led to David Cameron coming back. But she just got turfed out of it. And LGBTQ charity have said, look, it's illogical. It's not true.
Yeah.
Fine. In Rwanda, there is no specific law outlawing homosexuality. You're absolutely right. But have a look at how many of the gays have been arrested for indecent exposure.
Yeah.
Or, you know, moral corruption, or the roundabout laws that are always used. Furthermore, the Home Office in the UK, which is the department responsible for this, themselves have said, not that great. There are concerns. We should look at it. So the idea that Rwanda is safe is frankly not true. When there are asylum seekers who are gay from Rwanda seeking asylum in the UK from Rwanda, sending them back to Rwanda is maybe not the best decision that they could have come up with.
Okay. And then sending the ones from Uganda to Rwanda is just weird.
Or Senegal, or, Chechnya, it doesn't really matter. They're just sending everyone to Rwanda. It's ridiculous. And the concept of refoulement is at play here. And the the broader issue now is the British government is determined that this is the thing that fixes it. They don't want asylum seekers in Britain to be processed. They want to ship them all to East Africa, leave them there, let the process happen there. And then, you know, if they make the cut, we let them in. But the issue now is because the Supreme Court has said no. It's fanciful thinking. It's magic thinking. It's not in conjunction with the law. The British government has a right due to parliamentary supremacy. Yet again, just words and language that are hard to understand. But in Britain, essentially, the parliament is the top decision maker.
Yes.
All decisions, you know. And if a court strikes it down, parliament has the opportunity to do a better job of it.
Mm-hmm.
But the Supreme Court struck it down as a point of fact.
Yeah.
That this law by parliament was essentially trying to say the sky is plaid and it isn't. So now Rishi Sunak and his government is going to make a new law that essentially said the sky is a blue plaid, you know, and it's really going to be putting, it's going to have we have another constitutional crisis in Britain because the supremacy of parliamentary law versus authority of the courts is being put into question. Because if the courts say you can't make the sky plaid just because you said so, and the government is insisting, no, the sky is plaid, Rwanda is safe, regardless of what's happening in Rwanda, then what role does the courts play? Why are they even there? You know what I mean? So it's bizarre that this decision, which is massive impact on queer folks and asylum seekers as a whole, is sort of really creating this wedge in British constitution. I don't know. Interesting, dramatic. It's got all of the things of a good political soup. It was a lot.
Yeah.
It was a lot. We're going to jump in with our next track. This is Tiny Horse. This is At 1% by the band Tiny Horse. And we will be back just after this.
Blue eyes telling white lies every night. Hands up if you're not doing something that you like. Come and get me.
Never been so tired, but the tank is empty. Would you come and get me? I'm a 1% type. Think I just might die when the world is ending. Would you just forget me? I'm a 1% type. Never been so tired, but I'm getting through it. I'm getting through it. I'm a 1% type. Think I just might die, but I'm getting through it.
Hello and welcome back to Canterbury, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And I'm Sebastian.
And we just have a short recap on some other news today. Now, yes. I think earlier we were looking at news out of Oslo. Mm-hmm. Did you see the update from that?
Okay. So about a year ago, there was an attack in Oslo. I am just realizing now that I am foggy on the details. This was not the one that happened on the beach.
I have it handy here. Okay. So it was in 2022. It was during the Pride. It was just before the Pride Festival in Oslo.
Right.
It was in the London bar.
Okay.
Two people were killed. And there were, I think, 100 plus people who were injured. Islamist extremist. He'd not convicted him. Oathed himself, I'm blanking on the word for it, to ISIS moments before the attack.
Right, okay.
So the news story now is that the Norwegian citizen, this happened in Denmark, but the guy's from Norway, he has been charged with aggravated terrorism. So it was Zanier Matapour, who's 44. He has now been charged with, as I said earlier, aggravated terrorism. Mm-hmm. So he shot up the nightclub district in Oslo in Denmark on a anti-LGBTQ crusade and is now facing justice in Denmark.
Okay.
Sorry, Norway.
Norway. I was going to say, they're going to expedite him? That's okay. But yeah. I mean, I don't want to say it's a happy ending, but it's an ending to a story that has at least the start of some justice to it. Historically, whenever events like this happened, people would just get away with it because people wouldn't even investigate it. So, you know, the turning point in history has definitely happened, and it's knowing that something will happen as a result of events like this is something.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the guy, according to court documents, he fired 10 rounds with a machine gun and 8 rounds of a handgun into a crowd of 560 people. Mm-hmm. Absolutely horrific. It caused massive panic. It caused huge concern. You know, really, I think the highlight here is obviously justice. And he's now going to face, the judicial system for what he's done, allegedly. Mm-hmm. But at the time, what really stood out to us is the police were like, look, we can't guarantee your safety. And then they just marched anyway.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, you know what? Pride, safety of Pride wasn't always guaranteed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they marched anyway. And I believe the prime minister or the president of Norway, one of the senior public political officials, mm-hmm. also marched with them. And the country really came together after this horrific attack.
Yeah.
Sort of coalesced behind that, you know, you shan't, disrupt this approach. But yeah, fantastic news. To see that kind of move forward. In other news, the ban on drag artists in Florida has been upheld all over the place. And it's now reached the US Supreme Court, and they've essentially decided not to pick up the most recent decision, which had struck down the ban on drag in Florida. I believe there was also a ban on drag in Tennessee that has also been struck down. Okay. So essentially, bans on drag performances, at least worded in a way similar to Ron DeSantis's Florida law, is not constitutional, as the Supreme Court of the U.S. did not pick it up, and it had been ruled unconstitutional by lower courts. Okay. Now, the state of Russia might be making the decision that you and I, Sebastian,
right,
are extremists.
Okie dokie.
So they have decided to put forward an argument to their Supreme Court, and the decision, I believe, will be made by the end of this month to make the international LGBTQ movement
right
an extremist. So
right,
as international LGBTQs,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and advocates for the LGBTQs internationally,
mm-hmm,
I think that would make us extremists.
Okay, okay. Got it, yeah. Yeah. Yep. I mean, yeah. In the Russian context, I suppose I am. I'm an
aggravated homosexual in Uganda. Right. I'm an extremist in Russia. That's where we're at.
Right.
All right. Well, we'll keep an eye on all the latest news, as ridiculous as it may seem, across the world on LGBTQ issues, so you don't have to.
Right.
I believe we have run out of time.
We most certainly have.
I have been Luke Smith. We're playing out with One That I've Been Looking For by Nick Earl and the Reckless Hearts.
Right. And I've been Sebastian. And thank you for listening.
Let's pretend it's the end of the world again. That our lives will fade out of the scene before this movie ends. Waste a moment, cause they'll all pass you by no matter what you do. And take a chance, let's waste one right now.
Baby, it's 5 o'clock right now.